Okay, guys, first question for season eight.
Woohoo!
So even though this probably was one of the weirdest summers we've ever had in history, what was your favorite memory of summer 2020? Frank.
Oh my God. My favorite memory was Rachel wanted to go bake somewhere. She not in
Wait,
smoking, but
what? Get
she
baked
wanted to go
or
get a tan.
baked?
She wanted to go get a tan. And she told me,
Ah.
Frank, take me somewhere uptown where I can get a tan. So I took her to my, the nicest park uptown, which is Fort Trying. And I saw Rachel go from a white lobster to a red lobster like in 4 hours.
I did not get red, Frank.
It was amazing.
Come
Damn, it
Let
must have been like
me
sunny that day. I never got burnt from like standing in Fort Tryon Park.
Well, I was for trying to get some good sun, you know what I'm saying? And it was beautiful where we went. Frank took me to a really wonderful part of the park, not like your side, Jamie. No offense.
Well, okay.
The
Speaking of
renovated side.
speaking of my side of the Fort Tryon Park, the that was where my favorite memory was, because I had a surprise park birthday
Yeah.
gathering, I guess you could call it. I don't even know it was a party. And there was a bunch of people. You guys were there. I was totally surprised. I didn't even know. And people were, everybody was like totally not social distancing, but it was cool because it was like, it was for a good cause, my birthday. So that definitely stood out as my favorite memory of summer 2020.
Well,
All
thanks for
right.
stealing my memory, Jamie. It was your birthday party. It was the climax of my summer. Just kidding.
Wow. Okay.
No,
Thank you
I'm just
for
kidding. I did have a great time though, and it was so nice because that was like the first time where we saw each other, all of us,
that was the
after
first time I
months and
saw,
months and months.
that was the first time I saw people in like 4 or 5 months.
Same here. First time I got on an Uber, it was really
Yeah, I
scary
was still
for
kind of uncut. There were certain like people hugging me, and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
That
It
was
was
funny
like.
because yeah, there was an announcement made. Like I remember when I walked in, somebody's like, "Hey, we're hugging," and I was like, "Oh, okay." I didn't get the memo, but no.
Jerry Diaz kissed me on the cheek. I was like, I'm not ready for that, dude. I don't know where you've been, bro. But thank you for coming. Rachel, what was your favorite memory?
Oh, okay, yeah, because we could talk about your birthday all day long. You know what? Like my favorite memory of the summer was, aside from just family time, is beach time. You know, I got away to the beach, and like it was a little different this year because Mama wore a bikini this year for
Hello.
the first time in her life
Loca gone wild.
Yo, my bikini fashion is on point. Stay tuned to my Instagram if you want to see it. Chichos and all. I'm so excited. Two pieces are like the best thing ever. And thick girls out there, you know what? You can wear them too. I'm ashamed and I feel bad that I never wore them until now.
Wow, these were some great memories, guys.
The Latinos Out Loud podcast.
Yeah.
That felt good. Oh my God, you
You
guys.
had to get all that, all those yos out of your system.
Wow.
The yos have been trapped for so long. I mean, I did get to do a few on the preview episode, but they've been trapped inside of this cave for a
Wow.
while. A lot of
Tell me
caves.
about it.
A lot of caves up in here. But yo, what's up, everybody? It's the Latinos Out Loud podcast, season eight. Hi, it's your friend to the end, Rachel La Loca.
This is J. Ferns.
This is Frank Nibs.
Oh my God.
This is crazy. Season eight, making it great. Wait, that's like the old Pizza Hut slogan. But still, we can use it, for right now.
You love old jingles and slogans. You have like an
Making it
arsenal.
great.
Yeah, that's impressive. It's a skill.
It's a useless skill. But
Yeah.
wow, this is crazy though. It's been I think we're coming off our longest break ever, I think.
We are. And if I may say something, you know, we all introduced ourselves. It's nice to see you guys. There's piece of the puzzle missing here, though, unless I'm wrong, unless I'm on like summer break mode still.
No, you're right. You're right.
Well,
You're
yeah, I'm
right.
not smelling heavy BO. Somebody's not here.
Oh,
That's usually here.
is that what it is? The BO's missing. You're right. I was gonna, yeah, you're right. It smells so
No,
much
but
better. Lavender.
it's the BO that we've come accustomed to, that we're used to, and Yeah, that it's a missing ingredient that's not here. And what is it? What is it?
It's BO with an AG sandwiched in between.
Ah.
And, you know, he puts the BO in Bago. And
so Bago wasn't in our preview. And I haven't talked to any listeners, but I'm pretty sure whoever heard our preview show for season 8 was wondering, hey, I don't think I heard Juan Bago on that. So now we have an answer.
Mm.
We have a pre-recorded answer.
A pre-recorded answer? This is very like, I feel like we're in court. I feel like we're in court and we have a pre-recorded message. Yeah. We want the jury to hear.
Your Honor, let's submit evidence A, pre-recorded message from a bootleg iPhone.
Let's hear it.
Hola. Habla Juan Bago aquí. Quiero decir algo a ustedes. Okay. Spoken Spanish on the Latinos Out Loud podcast. Bucket list is set. What's up, all the Latino Out Louders, or better known as the Alaros. I'm here speaking from Sedona. Other people call it Sedona. I'm informing you that I'm not returning back to season 8. I'm not going to say goodbye. Instead, I'm going to say see you laters. I have to thank you because it has been an amazing journey. 7 seasons. I know I was being really, really good with numbers, but I lost count how many. I think it was like 141 episodes. But I want to first start by saying thank you very, very much to Rachel, who accepted to do the research to come back and say, yes, let's do the Latinos Out Loud podcast, late 2016. And from the first fake episode, which was with Brian's, we knew that we had something extremely special, and it has. Thank you so, 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 so much to Rosie, who was our first producer back in Harmonic, and to Francis, who's currently producing the podcast. It's impossible to create the content that we do without the help of all the interns, including Tibby, rest in peace. The magic is created with everybody and the team. But one thing I can say is no matter what, the Latinos Out Loud podcast has a special magic and spirit that it doesn't matter who the host is. You always feel like you're listening to a conversation in a living room. I want to thank the co-hosts, Frank with your Frankspiracy News, Jaime for your, I didn't write down. I'm thankful for Jamie. He'll probably get back to me. That doesn't matter. What does matter is that we have had a great, 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 great journey. All the live shows, the 100th episode, and you listeners made it happen. And that's what counts. You are an extension. You're like the 6th person on the court. And I think for that, the podcast is in great hands and is going to continue until Frank, Jamie, and Rachel are a senior citizen. And they're going to probably do the first episode from Mars. So until I see you again, see you later.
Wow. I wasn't ready for that, even though I knew I had heard the message before.
Yeah.
I knew, and he had told us all in person. But that hearing it on that message, on that so-so quality message, it still hurts. It's hurting me right now. But this is a big thing. I mean, we're joking, but Juan Bago is the one of the originals. LOL. It was him, you, Rachel.
Yep. Still here.
Still here. And you guys started it. It was a seed in both of your brains, and you turned it into an award-winning podcast.
Oh my gosh, when you say it like that, I just want to thank the little people that brought me here and made it possible. No, I mean, yo, on the real, hearing the message, like you said, it is an effervescent reminder that we, our unit has changed. You know what I'm saying? The unit that we had for so long, for 8 seasons, for over 150 episodes, was so strong and beautiful, and what we created is magical. I'm so thankful to Bago for that conversation that we had in the Starbucks around my way. And I'm thankful that he didn't listen to my hard-headedness at first and was like, do your research, and then I did. And, you know, he was such a integral part of this puzzle. And like you said, he planted a seed that we now, like, you know, have been, I'm not going to make these plant references over and over, but we've been fermenting and cultivating the seed.
And growing.
And growing. And now we're like this beautiful Latin podcast rose because of all the contributions of not only Bago, but everybody who's touched this seed and added water or sunshine or talk to it, because you should talk to your plants. So, you know, here we are at a new crossroads, almost a new beginning.
And blossoming.
Continue with the references because I ran out. And I can't wait for the greenhouse effect of
I don't know if that one makes sense, but it didn't really make that a bad thing. That analogy, effect. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's not a good
thing. Well, Bago had somewhat of a greenhouse effect on us. But anyway, thank you to Bago and to everybody. You know, it's season 8. We got some new stuff, right, Frank? You have any words? Any reactions?
Hold on. Bago's in Sedona, I believe, right? In
Arizona. Yeah, that's why Bago's recorded that. It sounded like he was trying not to wake Sophie up.
Yeah,
it's not like he recorded it right after she fell asleep and was like in the bedroom and he's in the corner like, so yeah, I just want to tell everybody, you know, I'm gonna miss the show, but I'm like, he you know, we'll definitely have him in sometime this season, and we'll have him in better quality and we'll talk to him. But yeah, he is on vacation in Arizona right now.
Wow, he's been going to Arizona like for the last 3-4 years. I wonder what he's finding around there. I heard he's walking around Area 51 a lot. He tells me he goes out to the desert out there a lot. It's a long hikes out there, so I hope he's finding something interesting out there that he could share with me, you know, down the road.
I mean, look, I'm you know, we're gonna miss him. I'm gonna miss him. He was, you know, it's like Voltron. If you take one of those people out of Voltron, it's gonna affect Voltron's probably gonna walk out with a little limp. You know what I mean? If you take one of those people out, right. So you know, we're gonna find our groove without him, but we did have a great four-person team with him, you know, and we really kind of, we were all in the same rhythm, and we all had the same, like, great chemistry, and you don't just find that anywhere. So we love Bago, and we hope, you know, he's going to be doing his thing. So he's, you know, he's not leaving on a somber tip. He's going on and doing his thing, and we'll support him along the way. And like Rachel said, we're going to have some guest co-hosts though this season. Definitely not filling his place, but giving their own kind of their own strengths to our show. You know what I mean? And yeah. I think that's going to be fun.
Oh.
So exciting.
Wait a minute. Don't you guys have a film coming out right now talking about Bago's doing big things?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we could talk about that. I still don't know if I haven't been cut out of the film yet. So I don't know. I need to find out the intel on that before. No, but it's Vampires of the Bronx was announced. It's going to air on Netflix on
October. Oh, shit.
Beginning of October. So,
wow.
And Bago's in that. Like I said, I have a quick scene. I'm hoping it's not cut, but it's a Latino film set in the Bronx and filmed in the Bronx by, one of our guests,
Oz Rodriguez,
right? Directed,
shout out to Oz, directed it and wrote it, and so we'll talk more about that when it comes out. But yeah, that should be fun.
Dope.
That should be a fun thing. And so, So yeah, Bago, we'll miss you. You're always in our hearts. Okay. Next segment.
Well, you know, also before we start the season, now that we've spoken about that, I want to just give a quick shout out to Tibby, who you guys know is no longer with us. There is an episode that we dedicated to him that we recorded over the summer. So check that out if you want to hear some great memories. And, you know, that's another piece that's missing this season. And we're going to come together and we're always going to live his memory and keep it living. But, you know, it's a piece that hurts right now. It's still like, it's like missing. But shout out to Tibby's family, who we were also in contact with over the summer. And just a quick prayer goes out to Tibby. We miss you so much. We love you.
We miss you, Tibby.
Thank you to the listeners that have hit me up and asked about Tibby and asked how we're doing. I really appreciate it. Desiree from Arizona, Desiree Para Garcia. You know who you are. She always hits me up. She always sees how we're doing. Some of the other listeners.
I mean, think about it. I mean, we were doing some of our like first quarantine episodes in Tibby's apartment. You know, like
last recorded episode was in Tibby's apartment. We left our equipment there, thinking we were going to see him the following week. Man,
so it just shows you like, I mean, it just shows you like how crazy, you know. You know, one day someone is here and the next day they're not. But we love him. We miss him. And definitely RIP Tibby.
Yes, sir.
It was an experience that, you know, we also learned from. I know I did. And I took some of those fears this summer on top of COVID, on top of everything else going on. And honestly, you guys, I just said, fuck it. I just said, like, fuck it to my fears. Like, when everything came to a bubble, it just occurred to me that I just needed to say, fuck it. Like everything, about everything. Like, fuck it. Seriously. Like, fuck it. Like, fuck do it. What you got to do. And for everything else, fuck it. In a bucket. You know what I mean? Like, this summer, I did things that were so atypical. I think we all did because of COVID and everything we're experiencing. But, man, I really, like, tried to flip that script and, you know, not instill any of these fears or terrible feelings onto my children. And I've been bonding the hell out of a bond with these boys. I mean, I'm like momming to the max. And I don't say that in a bad way. You know, I have my moments, of course. But like, I've really been with them and I'm like thankful because you guys know my infertility story. Like those moments that, I'll be very honest, like those moments that come to a head when I'm just like, I'm going to pull my fucking hair out. You know, I'm always like, I, at one point, was told I would never have children. How lucky am I that I have these two? They're so good to me. You know? They're so good to me, you guys. Oh, my God. This is an emotional episode for me, I could tell. I'm going to try to turn it down on the emotion. But I've been bonding with them. And everybody out there who's also momming and dadding and uncling and aunting and grandmaing and grandpaing, you know, keep it up, man. Keep that bond strong. Talk to each other about what's happening. That's what's been working in my family. We've been overly communicative through this whole process. And it's really helped. And even with my parents, I have never spoken so much to my parents, like, wow. Yeah. And you know what that comes with, you know what I'm saying? A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, heavy on the salt, you know what I mean? Sometimes things get salty. I love my dad to death, but you know, he's a Jewish father, guys, and I have a Dominican mother, so you guys know how it is. Pero, I mean, after 100 days of not seeing them, and I was counting, it felt really good to reunite with them too, and to just have my village back. I don't know about you guys. How was your summer, Jamie, Frank?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you definitely get cabin fever, you know, and then you start up like, you know, your neighborhood is like the only outside world for a while, and then eventually started taking some of the COVID training wheels off, you know what I mean? I went to the beach one time, you know what I mean? And then I was like, oh, I'm at the beach. And then I think I ate an outdoor PF Chang's in upper New York, not obviously in the city. And I was like, oh wow, I'm sitting in a outdoor restaurant for the first time in a long time, you know? And but even when, you know, even doing all that, I'm still in my mind like semi like paranoid and freaking out in a way, because I'm like, yo, I hope this waitress ain't got no shit right now. God. You better just be giving me this, you know, these egg rolls. You know what I mean? I don't want anything more than that. Don't give me an extra Corona on my
I don't want no COVID calamari, okay?
Yeah, let's just keep the chicken lo mein, you know, without any any COVID juice. No, but I mean, like, it is kind of like you gotta kind of have to learn how to feel comfortable outdoors again. And I'm still not 100% there. I feel like the only, you know, even if I was hiking with like no one near me, I'm still like, I don't know if this is. I feel like I'm the anti-Frank, because Frank is like, nah, I'll walk anywhere, yo, with anybody.
I mean, you know, guys, you know me, man. This whole COVID thing, I've been going downtown. I've been seeing my town. I've been seeing Fifth Avenue, Madison Avenue. I've been walking, seeing all the stores boarded up. I've been taking it all in, man. It's been an experience, so, to say the least.
Frank been breaking into Broadway theaters and shit.
Are you performing, you know, at least, or just breaking in?
He's just breaking in. He's like, yo, I went to the Hamilton Theater, but like nobody was there and shit. But I just, you know, I just walked around the theater and shit, and then I snuck back out.
Well, like, guys, the other day
in the city,
I ate at an outdoor cafe uptown, and I mean, I'm literally eating on the street. Like, there's rats passing by, the car's almost hitting you. It's an experience, so to speak, right now in New York.
Yeah, the New York outdoor dining experience is very unique, you know, because you are going to get little, like, creatures walking around sometimes.
Yeah.
That used to happen even before COVID. Like, I don't know if any of you ever been to the Shake Shack in Madison Square Park. In the park, there's a Shake Shack. There's seats in the park. At night, there's little mice running around and nobody.
Little?
No, little tiny. Yeah, there's no rat.
You're not little, man.
Well, and when I ate there once, there was a bunch of like baby mice just like running back and forth, and nobody was reacting to them. Everybody was just eating their burgers like without a care in the world. And I was like, had my legs up on the on the chair. I started doing the meditating pose and shit. I was like, yo, what if they go up my pant leg and shit? But nobody. So I feel like New York is just unfazed by outdoor dining. You know what I mean?
You're right, man. You're right.
Yeah, I don't know how people just be out there eating with that carbon monoxide flavor all in their food. You know what I'm saying? That's not for me. No, thank you. Mm-mm. I'll be dining inside in my apartment for a long time moving forward.
Did any of you guys, protesting was big this summer.
Yeah, man.
Did any of you guys do any other protesting? See, look, I respect real protesters, right? There were people, though, that were, like, calling me up and saying, hi, do you guys want to protest on Sunday at 1 p.m.? Like, it was brunch.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not the way to protest. Like, it's not, like, a trendy thing. It's like, it's either you're down to it's either you want to protest and that's what you do, or you're like, no, I think I'm going to just stay home. I don't think there's a middle ground. Like, yeah, I'll protest for, like, 30 minutes, but then I got to go. Then I got to go to, like, a baby shower. You know what I mean? You can't.
Right.
I think it's become like a dating strategy, because some of my girlfriends, I've heard them say like, oh my God, so we went on a protest date and he spelled his picket sign wrong. And I was like, good night. You know, so I think it's a thing.
I would ask the wrong questions in a protest. I'd be like, yo, where are we walking to? Do you know? Like, where's going to be the final destination? And is it next to any trains that I can take back uptown? Because I don't think anybody would really give you that sort of information. They're very into... you know, the protesting part of it, which, look, again, I respect, but some of these protesters, remember Occupy Wall Street? They literally occupy Wall Street
overnight.
They people were like, yo, I'm gonna be homeless for a month to get my point across. That takes dedication. So all you kind of like fair weather protesters, I like to do it just to get Instagram pics, and you want people to see that you're like very, you know, you're very woke. No, stop. Stop it. It's not about that. All right.
Yo, but BLM was in the Heights about 2-3 days ago, guys.
Oh, they were uptown?
They were uptown in the Heights, man. They came from New Jersey. They went by the George Washington Bridge, and they went straight to the 34th Precinct, man. And they got heated up there, man. It got crazy.
I couldn't hear it probably because in my neighborhood, the sound of merengue music drowns everything out. So, we're still in the ends of summer. So, like, we still got the music playing very loud around my way.
Merengue matters, people. Merengue matters.
Hey guys, the 4th of July up in the cities were crazy, man. This summer was wild with the fireworks, man.
Oh, Rachel, did you experience the firework? Like, it was like 2 months of fireworks.
Did I experience it? Yes, at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like right outside my window. It was 4th of July every day, and I really can't understand it. Well, I kind of can because I took it to Twitter and I found out what was happening, Frank.
Ooh.
You know, with the NYPD and the fireworks and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, It was just like very obnoxious. I'm talking like 3 a.m. Like who's like the person just lighting M80s at 3 a.m? I want to know. I'm curious. I want an interview.
They sounded like dynamites, guys. Those weren't M80s.
M80s, M90s. They're probably M1000s. I don't know.
My dog has PTSD because of what happened over the summer. Anytime I take off my shoes, he jumps now.
The only thing that drowned it out was when I put my headphones on and I put some The Best of Latinos Out Loud on. That's the perfect thing when you hear late night fireworks in your neighborhood and you want to drown them out. Listen to some Latinos Out Loud.
Is that the perfect thing?
Sure.
You need noise canceling headphones to really make it.
Just listen to our podcasts all day. It'll help. And guys, now it's time for Bochiche Bites.
All right.
I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bochiche Bites. I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bochiche Bites.
What up, what up, what up, what up?
Nice.
Hiya.
Wow, this is season 8. First Bochiche Bites of season 8. This is exciting.
Bite it.
Bite it.
Take a bite out of crime.
Yes.
Take a bite out of Bochiche. This summer, I think I was saying this in the preview episode. This summer has so many stories that we missed, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like every time I saw a story, like entanglement became a word, you know? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Will and Jada. and I was telling you, J-Lo was trying to buy the Mets, you know? Her love don't cost a thing, but the Mets cost $4.6 billion. And she just was slightly short. She was like 2 billion short.
That's so it was a money thing?
She actually wasn't that short. She was like, it was a money thing. Her and A-Rod were like very, any other owner, if they would have bid against any other owner, they would have won. But they were bidding against this guy who's worth like $14 billion or something.
Dang.
You don't think it's because, like, okay, here are two hardcore Bronx Bomber fans trying to buy the Mets? Like, what's your motive?
You know?
First of all.
Because she was trying to front like her parents were Mets fans.
That's the reason? Yeah, my dad loves tomato juice, but it's not in my refrigerator because I don't like it. It's disgusting. I'm not a fan.
It just wasn't meant to be. I mean, I think she just wanted to like be able to say like I own a baseball team. What, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, that's a whole nother thing. I'm
one that makes sense.
I just want somebody as a Met fan that spends money, and so I don't. A-Rod seems like he'd be like very cheap, you know?
Like frugal.
Frugal. Yeah. Like
Jennifer, he'd be like, do we need that? Jennifer, put it back.
Jennifer, maybe we can get a center fielder next year, okay? A-Rod doesn't even have an accent. I don't know why we're giving him an accent.
A little slight. I mean, not that I stalk them on her Instagram page or on Chef Kelvin's.
Yeah.
What?
But we're giving him a Ricky Ricardo type of accent, like, J-Lo, I'm home.
I'm home, Jamie.
Not that severe. You're right. You're right.
Batter up.
J-Lo.
It's a J-Lo, sweet chariot. Okay. But you know what? There are some stories that happened. Every week there's new stories. So let's not focus on the past stories. Let's talk about what's going on, recently. And recently, and Rachel, I know you're not a fan of these women, but this actually was a big deal. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians is finally ending.
Oh, snap.
After 14 years, 20 seasons, 14 years, 25 facelifts,
23 butts.
23 butts. 34.
100 dudes.
100 dudes? That's, yeah, you're being generous there. Maybe a little bit more.
How many crying fights? You know, not that I watched the show. How do I know so much detail?
I used to watch the show back in the day. Like, you know, old girlfriend was like, watched it, and she forced me to watch. And I'm doing the air quotes.
That's how long it's been on. You're talking like girlfriends ago.
It's been on, so I said, 14 years, 20 seasons. That's almost as much as The Simpsons.
Dang.
And you know what? And that's another family that doesn't age and has like unnaturally orange, yellow skin. Orangey skin, yellow skin. Either way, it's a bad tan. It's a bad tan.
Damien calls every conspiracy in the book.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Look, the Kardashians, we can joke about them a lot. But what do you think is, you know, what do you think is the one thing that, you know, we can take from the Kardashians, you know, that symbolize what they've offered the entertainment world since their show started? Anything? Wow. Anybody?
There's a lot of silence here for a reason. Because I'm just not quite sure how much they've contributed to society or has made it take a step back.
Right. I think I'm going to give them some props here, though, and tell me if you agree. But okay. I do think, you know, they have outlasted, like, you know, the 15 minutes of fame that people maybe thought that they would have, you know? They, you know, like, look at the Paris Hiltons of the world and the Lindsay Lohans. Those people usually have a shelf life. And Kardashians, they're still relevant. They're probably going to have a deal on Netflix with 20 more shows. But they have been relevant, and they're smart enough to know how to stay relevant. In whatever dysfunctional way it is, whether it's like marrying Kanye or getting like all these facelifts or, you know,
NBA players
or whatever, but, or just, you know, the drama that they have doing that Pepsi commercial that everybody hated.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Kendall.
The makeup,
the lip injections.
Bruce Jenner.
Oh my God, Bruce Jenner.
Well, it's not Bruce Jenner anymore. It's Caitlyn.
Oh, sorry, Caitlyn, yeah, my bad.
But so I think
be
that
with
they
a K, right? Just I just realized
they're like super rich now. Like they became and they've gotten rich off of like all the other things, like the makeup line and the clothing line. So I gotta give them props that they've actually like they haven't worn out their welcome completely, and people are still talking about them after 14 years.
They're almost there, Jamie. But go ahead.
They're almost there. Well, yeah. I mean, I think the ratings for Keeping Up was not keeping up. You know what I mean? I think eventually they were like, oh, these ratings are soft now. But like I said, they'll probably do some, you know, something on Netflix. Netflix will just buy, you know, they just buy everything. So I don't think it's the last we're going to see of them. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Wow.
Onto some other news. The Oscars, y'all. The Oscars have new diversity rules. Hello. Woo!
Finally.
It's about time, Oscar.
God damn.
Oscar's a Latino name. There should Oscar. Be more Latinos in the Oscars.
Oscar.
Yes.
Right?
Oscar.
And Oscars.
And he looks Latino. The actual Oscar looks like, you know, a guy from, I don't know, Colombia or something like that with a really nice, you know.
He's thick.
Golden brown, golden he's tan.
Thick. Yeah, he's thick. He's just right, proportionate.
He has abs.
He's thick.
Oscar could get it.
He could get it. He's thick.
But check it out. So I'm gonna tell you some of these new diversity rules at the Oscars. So now this only is for Best Picture. So like, and starting in 2024, if you wanna be eligible for Best Picture, you have to follow all of these two of these guidelines. And one of the guidelines is at least one actor from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group must be cast in a significant role.
Ooh.
Love that.
Interesting.
So even if it's a movie about, you know, Jesus Christ, you know what I mean? One of the apostles has to be ethnic. You know what I'm saying?
He has to be black?
He could be black. He could be like, you know, John the Baptist could be Juan the Bachatero. You know what I mean?
Nice. I like that. That works.
But I mean, you can't just have like an all vanilla cast anymore, which I think is a good thing. What do you think, Rachel?
I like it. I think Judas El Mentiroso has a nice sound to it. You know, a Latino Judas. We all know one, don't we?
All day.
I mean, Jesus Cristo is right there. Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, look, whenever there's, you know, a step in the right direction for the advancement of BIPOC, especially in Hollywood, yes. Yes, it's about time. I'm so glad you brought that up as a bochiche and bite. Everybody needs to understand what goes on, you know, on the business side of Hollywood too. And so let's make noise about it, people. Yeah. Let's keep writing, sharing stories. Now they're building laws and mandates in our favor. Let's rock that shit.
It's important. You know what I'm saying? It's important. And you know, also the story, another one of the guidelines, if you don't want to follow the other one, the other guideline is the story must center on women, LGBTQ people, or another a racial or ethnic group, or the disabled. So they're getting everybody in there. Everybody's getting represented. The Oscars is actually saying, we're going to force you to have representation, because it doesn't seem like, you know, encouraging you is helping. So now we're going to tell you, you want to win Best Picture, you better have some variety.
Wow.
Yo, you know what I would love to do for a living? I'd love to be like, you know, the Oscars police, the one who makes the phone call like, hi, excuse me, Mr. Steven Spielberg. I have to talk to you. I have a spiel to talk about with you right now. Because you're not cast it. Like, I want to do that, you know, to make the phone call. I reviewed the numbers and only 3 of your people behind the camera are of color. You know, who gets to do that?
There's probably someone who has that job, that they're the ones that are just walking around, like making sure, like, yo, what, they're just going up to people like, what nationality are you? are you a quarter anything? Because right now I see a lot of white people on this set. I need some more.
This is not happening.
Yeah. So shout out to the Oscars. Unfortunately, this is only for Best Picture. Best Actor and Best Actress, you can still have an all-white. But, you know, one step at a time.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. Final bite for today, season 8, episode 1. Louis Vuitton is releasing a face shield with golden studs.
What?
That's worth $1,000. This is to protect luxury buyers from the coronavirus. What do you think about this super luxurious facial mask?
Well, I pre-ordered mine. It's on layaway. So I probably won't get it until the vaccine is well spread throughout the world.
I think our first responders, our hospital staff, should be getting the Louis Vuitton mask.
I agree with you.
Why don't they get the mask with the golden studs? All right. I want them to feel good. I want them to feel, you know, because nowadays we've been wearing so many masks that now we've reached the point of like, okay, how do I make this look good now? You know what I mean? Because at first, when we started putting masks, it was just like, yo, give me the whatever. The first
thing, get the EPMD, whatever it's called.
Yeah. They're getting fashionable now.
The ones that the guys in the park, they give out to you for free. I'm like, yo, give me that. I'll wear that. Yo, it's cool. But now people are like, yo, I want this to match my dress.
It's out of hand. It's a thing. I experienced it over the weekend at Haley. Shout out to Haley, her birthday party. Everybody showed up in these like fancy masks. And here I am wearing the one that I got for free from Donovan's school. You know? Shit. Like a Hanes like t-shirt over my mouth. It's very generic, and I felt very like embarrassed about it. No mask fashion.
Well, Rachel, yeah, you should if you wanna fork over a grand.
Damn.
You know, look, rich people gotta. They can't have coronavirus. They got shit to do. But I would think it'd be easier to social distance in like a mansion. But you know what I mean. But
that's true, right?
Or let's brownstone.
Think about the buyer for a moment. Are they in a one-bedroom apartment with no windows? Probably not.
I'll stick with a napkin over my face. It didn't work so far. Anyways, those are the bites for today.
Woo-hoo! Wow, the first bites of the season.
Wow.
I was a little nervous.
I feel bitten.
I hadn't done it. You feel bitten?
Yeah, in a good way. Sometimes fighting is good. Yeah. Like if you're a vampire. All right. Well, thank you so much. I think that means now it's time for fake news. The first fake news of season 8.
Live from La Gran Manzana, it's Frank Spirison News with Frank Nibs.
Hello, folks.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank. Hello, everyone. Hi, Rachel. How's everyone doing?
It's good to hear your voice, Frank.
Likewise, Rachel.
Oh, we're back.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Guys, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back. I miss you folks so much. I have so much to tell everyone, Eloeros. I have so much news for you. I feel like I'm backed up, by the way.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
You look a little backed up.
I do, right? I look a little heavier. It's been a long summer. I mean, you know, we've been experiencing what we've been experiencing, guys. But I got some good news for you guys.
Good news. We love good news, especially when it's fake.
Yeah, you know, we need some good news. And this news is about a reset. Like right now, we're experiencing a reset, and that's why I chose this news. We're experiencing a new reset, new season, season 8. Season 8 is a good number, by the way. It's a great number.
Why?
Occultly, it signifies and it brings good luck, by the way. I'm not going to get into it, Rachel. It's really deep. But I'm going to talk to you about...
You're asking the wrong questions, Rachel.
No, it's a
sorry.
Great... The number 8 is great. It's a great number. After 7, the 8 is great.
Okay.
And 7 is my favorite number, so 8 is even better. You know, that means we're ascending to a better place. And I want to talk to you guys about a reset that happened in the past. So we shouldn't be so scared about this reset that we're experiencing right now. Okay. This new world reset of the Tartarian Empire...
Say what?
This happened about 200 years ago, guys. This is a part of history that's never been spoken about, and I'm going to
let Tartarian Empire. Is that like a Greek restaurant in Astoria?
Something like that, Rachel. This Tartarian Empire came from Russia.
And oh, duh. Da svidaniya.
Yes, Rachel. And I know you do a good Russian interpretation.
Well, my family hails from Russia, so please continue.
We love Trump over here.
And guys,
make Russia great again.
Guys, great, great Russian interpretation. But guys, this empire ruled the whole world back in the days. This empire was taken out from the history books by the Russians, by the Chinese, and the Americans. Okay, guys? And there was a mud flood in like the 17 or 1800s.
A muffler, damn! You really are back. You really are back, though.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that sounds like Jamie's bathroom on a Sunday.
Yo, Jamie, you better not be doing a muffler in my bathroom.
Jamie, I told you not to drink so much milk.
Guys, this muffler was so big that it covered up a lot of the buildings and things that were built in this country early in the 1700s. There were buildings. There were monuments. There were things that were built in this country, and this is not spoken about, guys. I'm letting you on to something that's, like, really huge. This is called the Tartarian Empire, guys. This was, like, the New World Order back in the days. People call it the Old World New Order before the New World Order took over.
Wait, so the Old World New Order, but before the New World Order?
Correct, Jamie.
I'm so lost. But go ahead, continue.
But Rachel, this Old World New Order had wireless technology. They had the best of the best. They had wireless technology.
They had Wi-Fi in the 1700s?
Jamie, I know you don't believe it, but they did. And I want people to look into this. I want people to hashtag this. It's called the Mud Flood Society. I want people to hashtag mud flood. I want people to hashtag Tartarian Empire. I want you guys to really look into this. This was an empire and a civilization that lived before us that was way ahead of us, technology speaking. And we don't know about this.
Well,
and
they don't
know about this.
I'm sorry.
And I'm talking to you guys about this today because we're experiencing a new. Now we're learning that Columbus was a fraud. We're taking down all these statues and what have you. So there's a lot for us to learn, and I want you guys to really go into this. Like, even the maps from the 1600s talks about this Tartarian Empire, which was close to Russia, and they've like really taken this whole thing out of the like history books and like from the educational system.
So were these people ancestors of like Steve Jobs or something? If they were like so technically advanced than everybody else?
Well, it's so coincidental, Jamie. You have a building behind you on your live feed right now that I'm looking at, and that's like a building from Russia. Their architecture and their mathematics in terms of building, their monolithic buildings that they build, like the Capitol building, like the Rome Coliseum, like the Grand Wall of China. They build a lot of things that are not in history books. They're spoken of like other people did it, but it was actually them. Okay, so they built all these buildings, and there was this mud flood, and it was huge, and it was so huge, Rachel, that it covered up. California was not attached to the United States at one point, and when this mud flood happened, it put California part of the United States. And Rachel, you know, when we were in California, we spoke about this fault line.
The San Andreas Fault.
Yes, that fault line was not actually connected at one point. When this mud flood happened, it actually connected California to the actual United States. That's how big this mud flood was.
Mud flood. I feel like that's a drink that I've had at Wet Willie's in Miami. Yo, I got effed up on a mud flood and a catch a cab, all right?
Yes, guys, and this mud flood was so huge that, you know, they started like changing history, and they started changing the narrative of what's going on. And right now we're kind of experiencing something like that with like, you know, football teams taking their names off, like the Washington Redskins. You can't call yourself the Redskins anymore.
Aren't they now like the football team or something?
Yes. And we're experiencing this with...
They got to do that with the Indians.
With Christopher Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Cleveland. Are they still the Indians?
They're still the Indians. I feel like that's almost worse than Redskins.
They're knocking down all the statues. So, guys, insane.
The Cleveland Tainos, just saying. Yes. Has a ring to it.
Yes. Guys, insane that this Tartarian empire that existed many years ago, and I want the Elohitos to look into this, and I mean, it's too much to really cover right now, but really, I want to ask you guys, with this new right now that we're experiencing, how do you guys feel about this, like, with this new and these new things that are coming about, and how are we going to move forward now with the new? We're finding out about history, and some of the history that was presented to us when we were young, it's not actually true, like Christopher Columbus. How are you guys like taking this in right now, Rachel?
Well, I think it's bizarre that all of the textbooks that we were forced to read, you know, in school back in the day, you know, we held them to such truth, didn't we? Yes, like in school, we were like, well, if it says that Christopher Columbus found America, then all hail the Nina, the pizza, and the goddamn Santa Maria. But that's not the fucking case.
He never came to the United States. You know what?
So I have to say, like, you know, the new needs to also be reflected in the history that we're going to teach, you know, the future generations. So if we're already forgetting about empires that existed, and listen, these mud people, if they brought or invented a mud fight, then that's great, because them and Wu-Tang got me into mud fighting. So... You know what I'm saying? All hail to the mud people. We can't forget empires like that. Let's rewrite the textbooks. They need to be rewritten anyway.
All right.
Look, the Tartar Sauce Empire, I feel like... I'm sorry. I read that wrong. The Tartarian. I feel like is almost like their version of millennials. I feel like they were kind of ahead of technology. They were kind of... you know, creating jobs for themselves that weren't there before. And so maybe a lot of the millennials nowadays have a little bit of tartar in them.
Oof. Wow. Jamie, I would agree with you. Mm-hmm. I would wholeheartedly agree with you. And Eloettos, when you look into this, I want you to look into hashtag this on Instagram, Mud Flood Society, Mud Flood, Tartarian Empire, Tartaria, Tartarian. And you guys will find out about
Tartarian?
Yes.
Hey, yo, Tartarian.
Yeah, there's a lot of different
it's time
words.
Time for dinner.
But I want you guys to look into this. You're going to be very surprised. Their technology was way advanced than ours. I mean, you're going to be really surprised. Like, even some of the things that you thought Europeans brought over to the Americas was already here, like the railroad system. Like, you see a lot of pictures, and you see, like, grand architecture like you would never see. You would see monolithic, architecture like you would never see. Like, some of these buildings that you see in New York were not built by Europeans. They were built by Tartarians. The architecture, the masonry on some of these buildings is impossible. The stonework is, I mean, impeccable. You guys
Your stonework, yo, that shit.
Right. Like, this.
Why are you looking at my stones, though, motherfucker? Why are you looking at my stones?
Yo, it's impeccable. What you want me to say?
My eyes are here. My stones are down there.
Right. And a lot of these buildings exist in San Francisco and San Diego area, like where this, I mean, and it was like mud floods in Boston and a lot of these places. And like, you see these Capitol buildings and you see the churches. These places were like, back in the days, they were like generators, basically, for the world. There was free energy all over. Like, well, there's things that we don't know, guys.
Frank, I think there's so much more to the Tartarian Empire that you have to do a part two of this.
Yes. Maybe I agree, James.
Sometime later in the season, remind us of this empire, because I feel like this is an important time that a lot of people don't know about.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you, Eloettos. Thank you very much.
Woo! Woo! Yo, where are my mommies at? You know what time it is. It's time for Mamady. Rachel La Loca.
Mamady, time for some mamady with Rachel La Loca. Yes, it's back, the Mamady segment for season 8. Yeah. I mean, distance learning and homeschooling, whatever the phrase is with these kids, I got a lot to talk about.
You've been going through it.
Got a lot of Mamady in the bag, but today I want to talk about something that's very real. I mean, they're always going to be real, but this just happened. Okay, so he started school, my five-year-old. The two-year-old starts his Zoom classes next week. Yes, there are Zoom classes for two-year-olds. And it was going great, actually. The first day of school went off without a hitch. The classroom was built. It was great. Second day, I said, great. You know, second day was a Friday, so it was the end of the week. I was like, wow, this worked out really well. And then the last class came. And I'm upstairs putting Benji down for his nap. I'm in earshot of what's happening just down the stairs in the learning annex that I created that used to be my living room. And I hear I had a caca accident come out of Donovan's mouth, and I knew he was still on Zoom. And so when I went down the staircase, I saw what was happening. Basically, my wonderful son, who I love so much and who did nothing wrong, if he ever hears this episode in the future, you did nothing wrong, okay?
Yes.
He was in three classes back to back with no bathroom break. So when he went to make caca, there was a little bit of an accident situation. He dropped his drawers, left the pants in the bathroom, went back to the Zoom screen, and just gave the whole kindergarten class full frontal and announced to everyone that he had had a caca accident, that he was sorry to have missed class. He didn't want to miss class.
Wow.
Damn.
So many emotions. It's like heartbreaking, hilarious, and like ridiculous at the same time.
Okay, so what is the deal with like three classes in a row without a break for a bunch of what, four-year-olds?
Three-year-olds?
Five-year-olds. I mean, I don't remember my bladder at that time, but I'm pretty sure I was pooping like every other minute.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the school has course corrected since it happened, because I'm sure they heard it from other parents. And look, we're all doing this at the same time. There's no, you know, rule book to follow. This is COVID. This is happening real time. We have to adjust. And I understand. And I in no way feel any kind of anything towards the teachers or the school. I think they're doing a wonderful job. These are just such uncertain times. I have to talk about this shit because I'm like, wait a minute. What? Wait, what just happened? So like, do I talk to the school and like make a stink think, no pun intended, about it? Or do I just sort of like not like pretend that it didn't even happen? You know what I'm saying? But the net is that, like, I think what we have to do is just reprogram a bit and let the children know, like, you're not in the classroom, so you can't really make the announcement that you had a caca accident to your teacher because she's not here. You know, mommy's got to wipe your coolie. So tell mommy, you know what I mean? But that's reprogramming. So I don't know, you guys, I could talk about this a lot. I just felt for a minute there when I got the call at 7:45 in the evening on a Friday night that I got in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Were parents like, okay, my daughter saw a decent sized 5-year-old penis.
And she has a lot of questions, and so do I. So can I get in touch with his mother? No, but nobody saw. Luckily, it's funny you ask, they were on screen share mode at the time. They were focusing on a worksheet or a video on the screen, like, and not so much the little thumbnails on the side. Mm. Unless you scroll to page 2 of the thumbnails, you might have gotten a treat, but I don't know.
What you call it a thumbnail, mommy?
Oh my God, stop it. It's so far from a thumbnail. Stop it. It's scary.
That's kind of crazy though. I mean, that's how Zoom, I mean, so, okay. I had this question too. Like, do you leave him alone during class? Like, it's like, do the teachers encourage the parents to just leave them in the room and don't, you know, you're not sitting in the corner watching them learn. You're just like, you do you for the next couple, you know, hours.
Well, that's interesting because actually I cloned myself. So my clone is downstairs with him during school hours, and then I'm upstairs with the baby, or vice versa. Kind of do, you know, like different clone appearances. Yeah. But to answer your question, I try to be in the two places at the same time as best as possible, but I really think it's utterly physically, humanly impossible if you have more than one child. Wow. You know, unless you got that nanny money or that tutor money, and hopefully one day I will, but right now I don't. So, you know, I know we're all like learning together. If you guys have advice out there for me, I think this Momity segment is just going to turn into that. I need help. So hit me up at Rachel La Loca or We Are Latinos Out Loud on Instagram. We want to hear from you and other moms out there too, or dads. You got some dilemmas that you want to talk about? Bring us the topics. This is the segment. And Jamie, my last question to you, because you are the product of private school, you know, do you remember your mom like being pet, you know, getting those phone calls from school? Because I was pet. I felt like I was sent to the principal or the headmaster's office late Friday evening.
Catholic schools, like, yeah, I mean, anything that is not, you know, something that they feel is God's way or something like that, they'll it's funny because I used to go to the bathroom when I was in my Catholic school when I was younger, and friends would tell me that when I was in the urinal, I would put my pants down all the way to my, I even took my underwear down. So basically when I was in the urinal, I was ass out to everybody. And my
friends, are you showing everybody your junk in school?
Like, they saw my junk, they saw like the junk in the trunk. And my friends told me this like when I was older, and I was like, I remember doing it, but I didn't realize it was like a weird thing. And if any one of them told their parents though, the principal would have probably not expelled me, suspended me. Mm. Because, you know, Catholic schools don't play. They know you pay that money. And even now with what was going on with the pandemic, is like, you know, the public schools got question marks. Catholic schools were like, yo, we gonna be open, okay? We got the power of Jesus, the power of Christ compels us to open. Don't worry about it. Bring your kids here. Make sure the check goes out to, you know, the church, and we good.
Yo, it's not like we're running a nudist colony up in my apartment, but we're not very like, go put your pants on. Like, you know, if you're wearing your underwear and it's a hot day, it's fine. You know what I mean? It's fine. So I think I need to change that a little bit too. Anyway, that's Momity for the week. We'll talk next week about that.
Woo! By the way, guys, I have a caca break I gotta do, so I'll be back.
Jamie, too soon.
Good to see you guys. Bye bye.
All right, everybody. It's time for Que Lo Que. Que lo que, 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 que lo
first Keloke of season 8. So, Frank, Keloke!
Guys, the premier film event in the country is back at it, familia. The New York Latino Film Festival returns September 14th to the 20th. Guys, the culture is not canceled. For over 2 decades, they have been relentlessly pushing the culture forward, and it will continue blazing trails for the creatives of color tomorrow, guys. I can't wait for it. I love it.
Film festival's back.
Speaking of the film, speaking of the film festival, Yero, everybody knows Yero. All right, shout out to the crew at Yero.com, the news and lifestyle platform for Latino man. They recently chopped it up with Calixto Chinchilla. Who has been a guest on our show.
That's my brother.
And to find out how the New York Latino Film Festival is still making their festival happen despite a pandemic.
Wow, that's amazing.
Can't hold us back, y'all. We doing a film festival whether, you know, whether you want it, whether the CDC wants us to or not. You know what I'm saying? But, yo, you heard it right. So that should be very interesting. Calixto is always an interesting conversation. And visit Yero.com for the full story, y'all.
And also, you guys, where can people follow you? You got to let them know. Que lo que? Frank, okay. Drop the socials.
Guys, que lo que? I want to give a shout out, guys, to Desiree Para Garcia on Facebook. This young lady hits me up all the time from Arizona. She gives me the love. She gives Rachel the love. She gives Jamie the love. She gives Mike the love all the time. Oh, wow. Guys, she gives Tibby the love all the time.
R.I.P.
She hit me up while everything was going down. I want to give her a huge shout out. I want to give a huge shout out to the Latino Film Festival. They're keeping shit rolling in New York City while everything is falling apart. I want to give a huge shout out to Calixto. Calixto always gives me a shout out. He calls me up. He tells me how I'm doing. He says how Latinos are doing. Guys, please check out Latinos.
He sees how I'm doing. He asked me
if
I got a caca break.
Yes.
I need a caca break. I go, you know, I take a caca break. I come back. He tells me how the caca was.
Yes. Guys, no. Right now, the city right now, I mean, for the people out there right now in New York City, ain't shit. Ain't nothing popping. Ain't nothing popping. Latinos are loud is popping, and the New York Film Festival is popping right now.
Wow.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep it quick and painless. My socials are Jay Ferns Instagram and Jay underscore Ferns Twitter. Mike Bago never got to change my Twitter handle like he said he was. He said he was going to give me Jay Ferns at Twitter. He never did. And he's going to have... That's why he left.
Oh! Makes sense now.
So he's going to have to live with that.
Boy.
Okay. And that's it.
Well, thank you so much, Jamie, Frank. You guys, I got to drop a quick shout out to The Ring, our partners over at Ring Cam. It is all the rage right now. They are a sponsor and supporter of Latinos Out Loud, and they want to protect you. So I don't know if you guys have seen these video doorbells, but they can save you from a lot of bad experiences, including package theft, and just give you a better sense of security. And guess what? If you go to ring.com/loud right now, you can learn all about the starter kit and get it on sale for $199. It includes the chime and it includes the video doorbell. You guys, I have two of their products, okay? And I cannot tell you. And by the way, one of them was before they became a partner, so no bias here. I have a crib cam, a nanny cam, they used to call them. And with our first kid, I dropped like 300 balls on a camera, okay? And it was great, but it didn't have the best night vision. But then Edgar was like, yo, Amazon's pushing this camera. Let's order the Ring. Best thing that has ever happened. Under $100. Quality, crisp on the app. You could see it in daytime, nighttime. I hear when the baby's breathing. I hear when the baby's dreaming. I can hear his dreams through the Ring cam. It's really amazing. Anyway, that's a lie. But the cam has really given me some sense of peace, peace of mind, especially when he was an infant. Now, the other product that they gave me, look, my parents' neighborhood in Brooklyn is kind of just becoming more populated. And with that, of course, crime is going to increase. I worry about them. They're elderly. And so thankfully, the people at Ring sent me one of these video doorbells, and we all feel so much better. They can talk to the people delivering food from upstairs in the recliner chair. It's really amazing. So check it out. Go to ring.com/loud. Get your starter kit for $199. And that's all I got as far as shout outs. I want to just say thank you to all the listeners for your patience. You've hit us up in the DMs. You've told us that you are excited to have us back. We're back with you. So please holler at us. Send us any ideas for guests or topics that you want us to cover this season at We Are Latinos Out Loud on Instagram. You could follow me at Rachel La Loca. Lots coming for you. It's good to be back. And on that note, we out!